So we're beginning this year with a series on Proverbs, as the Downton Abbey bumper just told you. And like the book of Proverbs, the way Proverbs is laid out, this is going to be more of a topical series in nature. We're going to look at different aspects of the Christian life. And this week, we get to look at friendship. What Proverbs has to say about friendship. And Doug, being such a great friend, decided to get COVID this week. No, he's all right. I'm the one who had to step in and figure out this message in a couple of days. You could do it. No, he's all right. But yeah, it was a bit of a shock. And then Vicky tested positive, and like half the staff is, yeah. But I haven't seen him, so I'm good. We're so far till tomorrow. We all are like, yeah, any day. Anyway, so I thought I would take a minute, if it's okay with you, and pray for Doug and Vicky and pray for our staff. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are, as we've been singing about, Lord, you're the great healer, the great physician, and we pray on behalf of not only our staff and Doug and Vicky, but really of our city and our nation, that you'd please bring healing, Lord. We would not be sad to see COVID gone from the world, and pray that you would do something miraculous like that. We would give you glory, Lord. We would give you all the glory. I pray in your name. Amen. So, you know, with just a couple days to prepare for the sermon, like any good preacher, pastor, I began my research by listening to popular songs on friendship. That's what we would all do, right? So I thought, you know, there's a lot of great songs written about friendship. Did you know this? There's great playlists. Yes, you all knew this. I, you know, it was new to me a little bit. So I started listening to these, and I thought, let's start out the year with a little music appreciation time. You know what I'm saying? Let's have some fun. So I'm going to play a song that I listened to in my studies. And if you recognize the song, I'd like you to please stand up and dance. Okay. I'm kidding. Seriously. That's not this church. But maybe Nathan and Crystal over here, you guys would do it. So I said, there you are. So anyway, if you recognize the song, I'm going to start with the intro of each of these songs. If you recognize them, simply raise your hand, okay? Here we go. Oh, yeah. What's it called? Lean on Me, written by Bill Withers. Yeah, great song, right? Great song about friendship. Yeah. Okay, how about this one? Right? What's this one called? Stand By Me by Ben E. King. Not Benny, but Ben E. King. Yeah. So I'm taking my son, Sam, who's 12. He plays guitar up here sometimes. And we're driving to Henderson, and I started playing him some of these songs, and he shocked me because he knew both of these first two songs. Yes. Doing something right, y'all. It's good. Okay, here's one that's a little more family known. What's this called? You Got a Friend in Me? That's right. By Randy Newman from what movie? Toy Story. Okay, now from my Gen Xers, this is for you and me together here. Everybody? Yeah, the 8 o'clock service didn't know to do that part, but it's great. It's great. Hey, that's of course called I'll Be There For You from the TV show, which we are not endorsing from the pulpit at all today. My kids have not watched it. They won't watch it. Okay. Now maybe the one that's just, you know, appropriate for the week. Golden Girls, yeah. Thank you for being a friend, Golden Girls. Betty White passing away this week. What a great TV star she was. So most of the songs I listened to this past week, they're all real positive and upbeat about friendship, but there are some that explore the difficulties of and hurts that come with friendship. And when I was in high school, a buddy of mine and I, we could not get enough of Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, my buddy and I, we loved harmony, we loved to sing, you know, the whole thing. So, but if you're looking for two-part pop music, male harmony, it just doesn't get any better than Simon and Garfunkel. I wore that cassette out, y'all. Like, it was gone. My kids were laughing at me in the first service that I used the word cassette. I don't think they know what a cassette is. But one of their very popular songs, and one I actually love to listen to, is called I'm a Rock. Let me read to you the lyrics of the second verse of this song. It says, I've built walls, a forest, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I'm a rock. I'm an island. It's kind of funny, when I was singing those lyrics years ago, I just never noticed how sad they were. I mean, really sad lyrics. Building walls around yourself in order to avoid people, in order to avoid pain. And yet, Simon and Garfunkel, they were onto something, because friendship can cause pain, because people cause pain. But to say that laughter and love are things that you disdain, do you have a person in your life that you say, okay, that person's laugh is magical? Anybody, you have a person in your life? I have one of those persons in my life, and she happens to sing on our vocal team, and she stands usually right about here. Her name is Jenny Roach. Her laughter, pure glory. She is going to give God so much joy in heaven, because her laughter just sets everybody free. It's amazing. But to say that laughter and love are things, that's just so sad. And then to isolate yourself from people, to actually choose to be an island with walls around your heart and around your mind. The Bible has quite a bit to say about this. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 18, and if you don't have your Bibles, it's okay, because we're going to be skipping around quite a bit today. And all of the texts will be up on the, well, almost all of them will be on the screen. So Solomon's writing this. And in Proverbs 18, verses 1 and 2, he says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So Scripture's telling us that when you isolate yourself, when you structure your life so that you have no meaningful friendships, no meaningful community, you're living a life of a fool. You're actually being incredibly selfish. If there's one thing we've learned from the COVID pandemic, it's that being in lockdown, it's really destructive for mental and emotional health and well-being. Our partners at Solace Counseling, they're in very, very high demand right now. People are still trying to heal from the effects of that period of time where we were isolated. We were created to be in community with people, to be in deep and meaningful relationships. And here's the thing. These are hard relationships, and we need to choose to be in them. If we wait for them to be easy, well, we're probably still waiting, because they're never easy. They're difficult. Because people, whether they want to or not, hurt people. The Oxford Dictionary, we do well to listen to this, defines the word friend as a person whom one knows, that is, you have intimacy with a person, right? A person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. I love that. To be a friend is to be joined by mutual affection and intimacy to another person. That's what it is to be a friend. Pastor Alistair Begg says, poor is the friendless master of a universe. You can be a friendless master of your own universe. And he says, poor is the friendless master of a universe. Rich, he says, is the individual who has one friend in the whole world, one genuine friend. If you have more than that, that's an abundance of blessing. So to help us move toward true friendship today, I want to briefly examine three things. We're going to talk about the traits of true friendship, the offer of true friendship, and then finally, the obedience of true friendship. So we'll start with the traits. What are the traits of true friendship? Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Obviously, Proverbs has a lot to say about many things, friendship included. We'll look at three traits. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times. That consistent, loyal, reliable. The bond of true friendship runs deeper than my present circumstances, problems, or struggles. Friendship is the choice to be engaged in the relationship beyond what this temporary life might bring. Friendship is not about me making myself feel better or you feeling better. It's about not about what I can get or what you can get. It's so much more than that. Let me give you a biblical example. So you got David and Jonathan in the Old Testament, closest of friends, love reading about their friendship. And then in the New Testament, you have Luke chapter 15, you have the prodigal son and his so-called new friends after he left home. Very different kind of examples. Now, Jonathan and David, they faced all kinds of conflict and strife. Why? Because David's the future king. Jonathan's dad is King Saul. That's an awkward triangle because Saul doesn't like David, right? Not a good relationship there, but their friendship never wavered. It was a strong, beautiful, good friendship. But then over here, you've got the prodigal son who's got all this wealth that he left home and he's living high on the hog or whatever the phrase is, and he's blowing all of his money in reckless living. And then he loses it all. And listen to what happens. Luke 15:16 says, "And he was going along, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." Not one of his so-called newfound friends gave him something to eat. And of course, those weren't friends at all, were they? Like David and Jonathan, true friends are loyal, they're consistent, they're reliable with love at all times. That's the first trait. Second trait, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 23, a true friend is honest. This is a great sentence here. "Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue." Several months ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, actually a mentor, and I was explaining of frustration that I was going through. I was having some frustration with another group of people in my life, and I explained how I had made all this effort to try to like befriend them and build bridges with these folks, and I was getting nothing in return, and I was so exasperated, and I wanted my mentor to like laud me. You know, to praise me and say, "Way to go, John, even if they don't return, that's awesome. Keep going at it." You know, I wanted him to flatter me. Instead, he gave me a rebuke. He said, "You're over earnest, John." I'm like, "Huh? I'm trying to build bridges here. You're over earnest. Why don't you relax on worrying about those people that clearly don't want your friendship? And focus on who God has put right in front of you to love well." Amen. An honest word from a true friend. He wasn't trying to cause me pain. But he knew that my direction was off. My focus was off. He's my friend. And you know what? You can take wounds from a true friend. Are you that kind of friend? Do you have a friend like that, that will share honestly with you in love? Maybe the question is, are you open to having that kind of friend? Because a lot of us, we don't want to be hurt, even if it's the truth. A true friend is honest. Lastly, a true friend is sensitive. This last one is actually really helpful, I find, in parenting. Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19 says, "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I'm only joking.'" Any parent of younger children will tell you, it is so common for a child, as he or she is learning to communicate, to throw out different thoughts just at random as they're trying to get a laugh or a reaction. And sometimes those thoughts hurt the other people around them. And when that person who's, that little kid who's trying to figure it out, realizes they hurt somebody and it wasn't funny, they say, "I was only joking." This is like every day me driving my kids to school. Now, the child's usually just exploring language and relationships. It's pretty innocent. But adults, we're guilty of this as well. We often throw out verbal arrows at one another, and this usually happens in the form of gossip, where we put someone else down, often behind their back, to feel better about ourselves. Gossip is so destructive, isn't it? I mean, we all know this. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." I had a colleague years ago who told me that people would continually approach him to complain about other people inside of his organization. And he was frustrated at what he perceived to be the possible dysfunction inside this organization. So he came to me and he said, "John, what do I do? I've got these people that are coming up to me and they're all complaining." And he's like, you know, made it sound like there's hundreds of them. And I said to him, "Well, do you know why they come to you to gossip and complain?" Dead in the face with all kinds of passion, he said, "It's because I care, John." And I said, "No, man. It's because you give that gossip an audience." I said, "You're actually part of the dysfunction. If they're coming and complaining to you, your one job is to direct them back to the object of their frustration, lovingly. But you entertaining that, having all kinds of compassion and empathy, you're actually part of the problem. You're stirring up conflict, whether you want to or not. Don't give gossip an audience. It doesn't do any good. A sensitive soul in friendship will say no to gossip, both by not speaking it and by not listening to it. True friendship has traits: always being loving, always being honest, and always being sensitive or understanding. And I think many of us, some of us, might admit, "Yeah, that kind of friend sounds nice. I'm not sure I've ever had that kind of friend." And that leads to the second part of our study today, which is an offer of true friendship. Where can a person find this kind of friend? No matter how good a friend you might have in your life, no matter how good a friend you might be to someone else, there will still be arrows, there will still be wounds. We will have a hard time living up to these traits. It will be difficult. But there is one friend who excels at these traits, all of them, and he's available constantly. And of course, that person is Jesus. Friendship with Jesus consists of absolute honesty, complete sensitivity, consistent love, never failing love. You know, one of the reasons that friendship is so difficult and challenging is because it requires and demands vulnerability. Guys, I don't know about you. Men, I struggle with vulnerability. I don't want to do that. It makes me feel weak, makes me feel wrong. Ladies, maybe you have the same kind of problem. I don't know, because I'm not one. But as we've already realized, true friendship demands openness. It demands a kind of intimacy. And friendship with Jesus, y'all, I hope you get this. Friendship with Jesus is the same thing. If you feel like you're not very close to Jesus, are you being open and honest with him? He offers his friends openness and vulnerability. Look at what he says in John 15, verse 15. This great section of scripture about abiding in him. Towards the middle of this, he says, "No longer do I call you servants." Then he defines what a servant is. "For the servant doesn't know what the master is doing," right? There's no openness. "But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard," vulnerability, "from my Father, I have made known to you." All of it. Perhaps the highest evidence of true friendship is intimacy, where we hold nothing back. And Jesus, he holds nothing back in his friendship. The friends of Jesus, get this, know all the secrets of God the Father. What? Imagine, Jesus has been in direct counsel with the Father since before time began. And when we become friends with Jesus, we get to be part of that inner circle. Now you might want to dance. That would be good. Well, maybe you'd say, yeah, John, that's good, but I don't know if I want that kind of friendship, and quite frankly, I don't know if I deserve it. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I really am. Well, before you judge yourself, remember, let's remember together, who the friends of Jesus were while he was on this earth. I forget this. It's such a good practice to go back and remember this. Jesus had friends in low places. Garth doesn't make his songs available on MP3, so I couldn't play that one. But that pun was totally intended. But he did. He had these friends from these, they were lowlifes. They were disrespected. And these friends drove the Pharisees crazy. His friends drove the disciples crazy. Think about it. Zacchaeus, how short was he? Short guy, chief tax collector. Nobody liked him. Nobody would help him see Jesus, so he had to climb a tree. And of all the people that Jesus sees that day and says, I'm going to come home and come to your house and hang with you, he looks at that little guy up in the tree and says, hey, Zacchaeus, knows his name, befriends him. How about John chapter 4, the woman at the well? The woman comes out at noontime when nobody comes out to get water. She's embarrassed. She's ashamed of her life. And Jesus walks out there and meets her in the heat of the day and says, hey, I know you've had 5 husbands and that you're living with another man now. He meets her in compassion and in love. And then, of course, there's a woman caught in adultery. Whole town ready to stone her. Jesus rebukes the town, not the sinner, and says, has no one condemned you, nor will I. Go and sin no more. He befriended them in brokenness. And that same offer is made to you today. And I'm not just talking about the first time you would accept Christ. I'm talking about a deep, intimate friendship that is offered to you where he is vulnerable to you first. That is being offered to you today. With his friendship, we get help for today. We get grace for today, but we also get hope and life everlasting. He loves at all times. He's honest with you at all times. He's understanding. He's known as the friend of tax collectors and sinners. And he longs to be in relationship. Get this. He longs to be in relationship with anybody that truly wants him. Remember what I was trying to do with that group of friends that didn't want me? Jesus says, I want to be your friend if you want my friendship. Not going to force himself on you. So do you truly want this kind of friendship with Jesus? Many of you know what it's like to walk alongside someone who's suffering physically. I had the privilege of doing that over the past year and a half with my friend Kevin. No matter how well I listened or encouraged or even cried with him, I felt like I didn't have the depth of understanding to really meet him in his pain. Kevin really longed, being a faithful Christian, he longed to hear a word from Jesus throughout this his treatment, but he's in so much physical pain every day. Yes, he wanted the blessings of good scans and physical healing, but he really desperately wanted to hear a word from Jesus saying, hey, I'm with you. I have you. And in the midst of his pain, Kevin couldn't hear that. I was with Kevin the day that changed, where a profound moment happened in his life. He was on a park bench randomly in California. So profound for him, so rich, so affirming that the loving kindness, the empathy, the friendship given by Jesus moved and changed his heart that day. See, while the offer of true friendship from Jesus is, I believe, the most profound and rich experience offered in this lifetime, there's also, if we're being truthful, there's also a cost that comes with it. And I want to be honest about that. So that's the final aspect of friendship that we'll talk about today, the obedience of true friendship. So looking back at John 15, Before the section of scripture we just read, if you go back to verse 9, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, it's really profound and complex passage here. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Then he says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he has done that in his own life with the Father's commandments. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I'll take that. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So let me try to break that passage down. Jesus says, I've loved you with the deep and life-giving love of the Father. The original perfect love, it is yours. And he says, abide in this. Swim in it. Let it fill every fiber of your being. And then he says, then he teaches us how to do this, how to abide. But it's not what we think it would be. The way you abide in his love is by obeying his commands. Now that can be kind of confusing because our own understanding of the word command and obedience, and also because we live in Texas and we don't like people telling us what to do, so it's kind of weird, you know. But look at the command that Jesus gives. He says, what is my command? Love one another. Give yourself away to another person. It's the exact opposite of what Simon and Garfunkel wrote. Give yourself away as Jesus did. And then he says, if you will do this, you will experience my love. When you give yourself away in love, you are then abiding in Jesus and experience his love. And his peace, and his joy. You ever seen a kid, after they are completely compliant and they do the things that mommy and daddy ask them to do, the joy and the satisfaction that is in them when they have that, that's what we're talking about. Love one another. Do you see the practical nature of what Jesus is teaching us? Loving obedience purifies the soul. Do you get that? Loving obedience purifies the soul. Living out the love of Christ will lead to experiencing the love of Christ. And I have to stop and say, some of you already do this so well. So well. And it's a privilege to watch that and observe it and even to be part of that process. I believe it's led to our church having a kind of reputation as a place that people can come and heal from wounds and hurts. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. And I pray that we'd only go deeper and wider with this kind of love. In order to be a friend who loves at all times, who is honest and sensitive, we must choose to obey Jesus and abide in him. I heard it said earlier this week. I've never heard this before. Great phrase. Jim Dennison said, we are to be Christ followers that others can follow to Christ. If someone came up to you, didn't know Jesus, but they became your friend, you befriended them, would they be able to follow you to Christ? So will you commit to being this kind of true friend? It's a new year. New opportunities, and I pray that I would implore you to consider accepting the offer of friendship that Jesus is offering, where you will then experience the traits that come from him, and we do this by obeying his command to love one another. We stand and let's pray together. Jesus, you are so good. You are so kind. You're so honest and sensitive, and we praise you. We bless your name. And I pray for everybody in this room to experience your love on deeper and more powerful levels, God. May we walk in ways that leak and echo the transforming love and power that you displayed while you were on this earth, God. We thank you that every day is a new day, that today is a fresh opportunity. And we praise you for that, Lord.